we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Friday morning in Brevard County, Florida. Sound like a good thing to you? Sounds like a good thing to me. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. I have the privilege of hosting the Refresh Radio broadcast here Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE 91.5 FM, 10:30 of a morning on WWBC. And God is good. We want to thank Bob Fisher for coming and being part of our Refresh Brevard 2016 Holy Spirit Emphasis. We are meeting again tonight and tomorrow night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We will have our Sunday school classes as well. So come and be a part of that. Come with an open heart and an open word so that God can touch you and minister to you and empower you for the days ahead. This is an exciting time to be a Christian. And I'm thankful that we are going to this is going to result in us being led in triumphal procession with God. Amen. Want to take you into the Word this morning. I'm going to touch just a moment in Isaiah chapter 47. We were in Isaiah 45 recently, but there's a passage in Isaiah 47 that I want to address. And that is in verse number 10. It says, "For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, 'No one sees me.' Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, 'I am, and there is no one else besides me.' Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not know where it arises. And the trouble shall fall upon you, and you will not be able to put it off. And the desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know." I want to begin today, and I'm not sure we're going to spend the whole day in this passage before we move on over into Isaiah chapter 48. But I want to ask you today, what do you trust in? What do you trust in? Now, I want you to know that trust is a risky business. Because it says some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. You've got to have your trust in the right place. On our money, it says, "In God we trust." And yet more people put their trust in that money than they do in the God that their money trusts in. Okay? And so I want to ask you, how do you go about this business of trust? And what happens is many times, whenever we have had our trust put in a person, and then that person lets us down, their human frailties, their sin nature, it manifests itself. Then suddenly we realize that we have made a mistake and we get defensive and we become closed off, and the temptation is not to trust anyone again. Now, it does say about Jesus that he did not trust himself to any man because he knew what was in the heart of man. So it did not say that Jesus didn't trust. It just said that he didn't entrust himself to people that he knew what was going on in their heart and in their life. What happens many times, and especially Christians, and I will tell you this, with the storms that recently came through, don't just trust everybody that comes to your door that says that they are skilled in this craft or skilled in another craft, because it is very prevalent when storms happen that scam artists will come in and they will try and victimize you all over again. So you've got to know how to go about this trust. And so we've been talking on Wednesday nights about Psalm 91. Let me see if I can get over there just real quickly here. Psalm 91. And one of the things that we spent some time discussing was this aspect of trust. If you would like a copy of the study guide that we produced on trust, you're more than welcome to contact us at 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. It was a pretty lengthy study guide. Is about 2 pages of where we put the various attitudes that people have towards trust. But Psalm 91 is predicated upon our trusting, but trusting in God. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust." Now, I just had this flash that came across my memory of the movie Twister, where this monster tornado was on the ground and doing great devastation, and storm chasers had been immobilized and they were looking for a place to take refuge from this storm. And so they go into this shelter, they close the door, and all of a sudden they look and they see all of these sharp metal objects that are in there that could be weaponized whenever they are accelerated by a very high velocity wind. And they said, "You know what? We're not taking shelter in here." And so they go looking for someplace else to take shelter, because they realized that the place that they were trusting to keep them safe wasn't going to do it. So you and I, we need to not trust people. And I know that politicians right now, they are saying, "Trust me, trust me." You can't trust the other person. You can't trust the third person or the fourth person. You can trust me. Now, I will tell you this. If a person is a demonstrated liar, I want you to understand something, that if they've lied to other people, if they've lied in public, they will also lie to you. It is just a reality. You know, it's kind of like the person who says, I know that this guy cheated on his wife with me, but I don't think that he's going to cheat on me with somebody else." That is a fallacious trust. You need to realize the character issue. Unless there has been a transformational act of God in their life, then you need to trust them. I think it was Johnny Depp's character in Pirates of Caribbean. He said, "It's not the honest ones that you have to look out for. It's the dishonest ones, because you can always trust a dishonest person to be dishonest." Something along those lines. And that'll cause you to scratch your head and say, you know, you can work with that there. In fact, there's a personal mindset that I have, that I would rather deal with a person who doesn't claim to be a Christian, and I can deal with them knowing that they're not a Christian. I know what to expect there. The people that I struggle with are the people who claim to be Christians, and yet I can't trust them to always act like a Christian. Because not everybody who claims that they're one thing is actually that thing. Not everybody who claims to be a police officer is a police officer, and then you get arrested because you are impersonating a police officer. Well, I'll just tell you right now, there are a lot of people impersonating Christians. They look the part, they act the part, but there hasn't been the change, the repentance that is necessary on the inside that makes a person a Christian. many, many years ago, I was a shoe department, I'd managed shoe departments, and then I managed shoe stores as well, full service shoe stores. And I went to this one business, and I tell you, I was grieved. I was grieved because they had a wall of shame. They had a wall of shame. And in that wall of shame, they had framed all of the bounced checks returned for insufficient funds that had been written to them and never paid for, never redeemed. The people had just never come and compensated them for their work. And all the one thing that all of these checks had was they had Bible scriptures on them. Now, what kind of testimony do you think that left in the taste of the mouth of that businessman? I can tell you what it was, and that is that person had a negative trust factor in Christians because he had been victimized by Christians so many times. Now, I want to encourage you and I, we've got to put our trust in God. We can't trust in people unless, you know, they are trustworthy. There was a day and time in America where a man's handshake meant that you were going to honor your word, that person was trusting you to keep your word. There were no written contracts or anything like that. It was just that, you know, I am going to do everything in my power to make this deal a reality. And so Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." So that's where our trust should be. Our trust should be in God, the maker of heaven and an earth. But when people get away from God, they start looking for alternative sources that they can put their trust in. And so in Isaiah 47:10, it says, "For you have trusted in your wickedness." And there's lots of people who trust in their wickedness. The political machines are trusting in their ability to deceive. Their greatest threat is that the things that they do in secret are going to come out in the open. I want to encourage you that you might be able to get by with some of that stuff when it comes to dealing with humanity. You know, it says you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. You can fool people some of the time, but you can't fool everybody all of the time. And here's the even greater revelation, and that is this: you can't fool God anytime. There's no way that you are going to be able to conceal. And so people trust in their wickedness. Do you realize that in the Bible it talks about people who felt confidence because they had entered into a covenant with death? They had entered into a spiritual covenant, and they thought that was going to prevent anything bad from happening to them. I want you to know that hasn't prevented bad from happening to you. That guarantees that devastation is coming your way. It absolutely does. It might not come today. It might not come next week, but eventually it is going to come. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, with all of our being. And so I tell people this because it's true. And if we're going to trust in God, we need to know how to do this. And that's when Moses struck the rock. Here a week or so ago, my wife and I were watching something as we were trying to fall asleep, and it was on the city of Petra. And they mentioned in there that it was believed that was the location where Moses struck the rock three times. And they said, amazingly enough, that city has never been without clean, fresh, running water. Now, I don't know that that was the location, but I can tell you this, that Moses was commanded to speak to that particular rock. God said, I want you to speak to the rock and water is going to come out. I'm not talking about the specific rock in Petra. I'm talking about the rock that God had said, speak to the rock this time and water is going to come out. And Moses got very upset with the people and he struck the rock three times. And here's the interesting thing. If you were to ask people, why did Moses not get to go into the promised land? Because God said, as a result of the activities of that day, that Moses and Aaron were not going to get to go into the promised land. And they had serious negotiations. Moses kept pleading with God, saying, you know, please let me go in. Please let me go in. Please let me go in. Here's the thing. If you ask people, why did Moses not get to go into the promised land? They will say it is because Moses struck the rock. I want you to know that's not the reality. If you were to ask Moses, and you can go back and read this in Numbers and Deuteronomy, over and over again, Moses puts the blame on other people. He puts the blame on the congregation of Israel himself or themselves, and he say, it's because of you that God would not let me go into the promised land. I want you to know that's not true either. If you go to the scripture, you will read in there that God tells Moses exactly why he and Aaron are not going to get to go into the promised land. And that is this. He says, and you know, I'm going to quote this from the NIV here. He says, because you and Aaron did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the congregation. Wow. That's different. That says that it wasn't the act of striking the rock that caused Moses not to get into the promised land. It was the motive, and it wasn't that he did it in anger. It was that he did it because he had been successful striking the rock before when God had commanded him. But this time, he struck the rock because he didn't trust that when God said, speak to it, that it was going to move. And so, again, if you'd like a copy of the study guide that I produced for that, it's not a copyrighted thing or anything like that. I just give you the verses and the little synopsis of what's going on in that passage out to the side. You can contact us. We'd send it to you absolutely free of charge. We can email it to you if you give us an email address. We just want people to trust in God. Trusting in wickedness doesn't get you anywhere. It might get you operating as a terrorist. It might get you operating as a gang member, or you know, operating in extortion. If you don't do this, then we're going to do bad things to you. You know, if you're a bad enough person, people tend to wilt under that. But God wants us to be able to trust him at his word, to trust him in his nature, to trust him to keep his promise. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are some of the great examples of that. They said, look, God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he does not, we will not bow. We trust our God. And so, he said, these people who had trusted in wickedness, they said, you have said, no one sees me. No one sees me. Let me impart to you great spiritual wisdom that has been demonstrated over and over again during this presidential election season. And that is this. The Bible says that which is done in secret shall be proclaimed from the rooftops. It doesn't say that it might happen. It says that it will happen. And so for you to assume that just because there isn't necessarily an eyewitness there doesn't mean that it is not going to be found out. Several years ago, I had a person and they were wanting me to counsel them via email. And we had just been in a training session with our district superintendent and with a lawyer, and they said, whatever you do, do not have confidential communications via email. And here's the reason that they said is because it is not a secured form of communication. Anything that is put out on the internet, anything that is done through email, anything that is done through Twitter or Snapchat or any of those sorts of things, all of those things become part of the public record. And so I had to decline the invitation to deal with this person in this type of manner over email because, and what the, you know, this person didn't know is that my church email account is available to other people. So, I mean, it wasn't whether or not it was confidential communication. There's other people that access that particular email account. And so I want to tell you that you should not be naive enough to think that things that you are done and that you do in secret are not going to be discovered. I'll move on from there. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And I've got this, you know, when I think of warping, I think of things that were meant to be in one shape, and now because of environmental conditions and things that have happened to them, they are misshaped now so that they no longer are able to fulfill the purpose that they were supposed to have originally. I know somebody that with the hurricanes, a stack of plywood that they had got completely inundated, and he said, I've just got to throw it out because it is so warped now. It is one thing to be warped if it is just a piece of property, but it is another thing when your personality is warped, where your behavior is warped because you have trusted in wickedness instead of trusting in God, because you think that no one is seeing you, and in actuality, it is becoming evident. By the way, I will just tell you this. People will be able to identify your sins and your shortcomings a lot easier than you can, because they see it, and you and I, and I, somebody shared this perspective. It says that which looks like a speck in someone else's eye, when it is in our eye, it obscures such a huge portion of vision that it is like a log in ours. And so we need to take care of the problems that we have that we're dealing with, and then God will give us the precision. And by the way, I'm just very thankful for the ophthalmologist that God has blessed in my life that is, you know, helping to make sure that I see as good as I possibly can. I'm thankful that she has the training and all of that so that she can help me. It specifically says that there are two threats to this misshaping us for the purpose that God has for us, and that is our wisdom and our knowledge. Now, I don't believe that this is saying that God wants us to be foolish. I believe that what this is talking about is we need to have the wisdom that comes from heaven, not the wisdom that comes from earth. You see, Rehoboam availed himself of two different sources of wisdom. He availed himself of the wisdom of those seasoned elders who had served faithfully under his father, and then he availed himself of the wisdom of the entitled class that had been raised in this grandiose kingdom, and they were his contemporaries, his classmates, his frat buddies, and all of this sort of stuff. He availed himself of their wisdom, embraced them because that was the same environment that he had grown up, and he lost the kingdom because of the source of wisdom that he chose to utilize. The Bible says there is a wisdom that is from this earth that is selfish, and it's carnal, and it's demonic, it's destructive. And then there is a wisdom that is available from heaven, which has eternal perspective. It is a wisdom that stems from a heart of love. It is wisdom that is proved right by all her actions. In fact, that is one of my life-altering encounters with God. Is one day I was praying about a circumstance, and God said, "How's that situation going?" I said, "It's not going well. We've been dealing with this over and over and over again. Same problem, same strategy, same outcome. It comes, it builds up, it flares up, it erupts, and then it calms down." And he said, "Well, if wisdom is proved right by all her actions, what is that demonstrating to you? What is the truth that you glean from that?" And that is, and I said, "Well, God, that must mean that I'm not operating in your wisdom. I'm operating and in that situation, I was dealing with the wisdom of my personality. Mercy is my primary gifting. I don't really like confrontation. And so I had to step out of my comfort zone, the place where my personality was comfortable, and I dealt with the situation in wisdom. And I want you to know that it had a glorious, transformational, result. Now, things got very unsettled at the beginning of the process, but the result of the matter was absolutely glorious, and that problem never flared up ever again. Don't operate by wisdom. It will warp you to its purpose, not your purpose. And don't limit yourself to the things that you know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the beginning of knowledge. If the things that you know are not built upon the foundation of God's word and upon the knowledge of the God of the word, your knowledge is flawed. I don't care what field you are in. If we do not operate our lives by the principles of God's word, if our marriages are not built upon the knowledge of God's word, if our finances aren't built upon the knowledge of God's word, if the way that we treat our bodies is not built upon the way that God's word instructs us to, if we do not conduct ourselves the way that God wants us to, if our emotions are not in alignment with God's word, then our knowledge is going to lead to our downfall. God wants us empowered by knowing the word of God and the God of the word. God bless you. I pray today you're not trusting in anything other than the Lord your God, and you're trusting in him with all your heart. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. Don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?